Well, we've begun a study of the book of Acts, and it goes along with our theme of looking at ordinary people in the hands of an extraordinary God, right? And if they can do extraordinary things through God, then so can we. And we understand that. We can relate to ordinary people, although I've never been called ordinary. But we have this extraordinary God that can work with us and through us and change the world. And so very quickly in the book of Acts, we find the 11 remaining disciples, remember, just standing around. They wanted King Jesus, President Jesus. And Jesus said, no, that's not what it's all about, guys. And today, they're going to make a step towards solidifying the leadership of the very first church. All right, leadership can make or break any situation, right? Think about your boss and how they lead. Or if you're the boss and how you can lead and how that can make or break things at work. Or a coach. Think about a coach, for those of you who have one. They can make or break that situation. How about leadership in marriage? That can make a difference. How about a good pastor? Wouldn't that be amazing? Someday. Keep praying. But church leadership, very early on in the book of Acts, is something that's talked about, and these ordinary men get called to do extraordinary things. And we're going to talk about church leadership today. I love this story. Latest news reports are that there are 5 terrorist cell groups that have been operating in many churches. They have been identified as been sleeping, been arguing, been fighting, been complaining, and been missing. Their leader, Lucifer Ben Workin, trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. The plan is to come into the church disguised as Christians and to work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy. However, there has been a report of a 6th group, a tiny little cell known by the name of Been Praying, is actually the only effective counterterrorism force in the church. Unlike the other terrorist cells, the Been Praying team does not blend in with whoever or whatever comes along. Been Praying does whatever is needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. We have noticed that the Been Praying cell group has different characteristics than the others. They have been watching, been waiting, been fasting, and been longing for their master Jesus Christ to return. True, isn't it? A lot of us come from churches where the leadership was awful. And it ruins it all, doesn't it? It makes a huge difference. In Acts chapter 1, there are some questions we have to answer. Doesn't matter who they are. I'm going to tell you what our history was and who we are today in terms of determining leaders. Does it matter what they know? And does it matter how we pick them? I think it does. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Acts is toward the back part of your Bible. It's after a bunch of guys' names, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Or tap that app. Man, that's so convenient, isn't it? Love that. We're not going to go very far into verse 21. Because right out of the gate that we see that church leadership is important. Importance. Verse 21, therefore it is necessary. Don't be afraid to mark that, circle it. Underline that word, it is necessary. How important is it to have godly church leadership? According to Acts 1:21, it's necessary. Says who, by the way? Who says it's so important? All right, scroll back up or look at verse 13. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, I always felt bad for him. That's a long name to write. And Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot. I want to meet Simon. And Judas, not that Judas, right? Luke makes sure we know it's, hey, Judas, son of James. Look at verse 14. When these remaining 11 disciples get together to begin to form what would become the leadership of the very first church ever, what do they do in verse 14? They call for a congregational vote. They call for a board meeting. Did they vote on something? What did they do in verse 14? They all joined together constantly in prayer. Wow. And as any good church leader knows, it's not just that little group. It goes beyond that for leadership, doesn't it? Along with the women. Sure, the guys get named. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Can you imagine a church where the leaders gather together to pray? I am not talking about what it was like when I first came here. We prayed at the beginning of the board meeting and at the end of the board meeting, and everything in between, it's like we never prayed at all. I'm not talking about prayers that open or close meetings. I'm talking about what we do now when we get together as elders. We talk about some church business and stuff. But guys, sometime, maybe we just need to invite you to watch the four of us pray together. We pray for each other. We pray for our poor spouses, not mine, but we pray for our poor spouses. We pray for you guys. We pray for our missions. We pray for incredible things. It is so cool. Anybody know how long the church board meetings were when I first came in the year 2000? Anybody know? They were on Thursday nights, every first Thursday of the month. 3.5 hours. They started at 7. I loved those guys, but they were not in the right spot for them. Does that make sense? It's necessary to decide what lawnmower to buy. But one time we spent 45 minutes debating whether to buy a lawnmower for the church, and then another an hour and a half where to buy it from because someone was mad at somebody for what they did in the 50s, and I'm like, those are important things, but not in that setting. If you're wondering, if you don't know, we don't have a board anymore. We have elders. We have deacons, ministry team leaders, right? Right out of the gate in verse 21, important stuff gets determined that God wants done. It is necessary to have godly church leadership. It's important. But you have to have men that are invested. Verses 21 and 22. Oh, he said men. Yeah, it did. Verse 21, therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men, sexist, who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. Huh. And if you're wondering, that's from the beginning of John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. That was last week. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Oh, let's talk about the big fat elephant in the room. One of the men. Sexist. We have men that are elders. We have men that will always be elders. Do you know why? Scripture just said so. I have heard over the years, well, women can, I'm not saying they can't. What I am saying is Scripture made it clear that men are to be the elders in the church. There are roles for women to play in leadership, just not that role. Does that make sense? We have what we call here ministry team leaders. The rest of the Bible would call them deacons or deaconesses, right? We have females that lead those ministry teams. It's just something that Scripture says. Now, by the way, did you also know that when it comes time to pick who those men are to be. Scripture also says we've got to investigate their wives as well. Right? Listen, when I came the third Sunday in January of 2000, they asked me, obviously, to preach. I preached on the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, Good Church of Christ Boy. And I did something before I got up to preach that I knew would get me hired. Anybody know what it was? I made her play the piano. And she played a piano solo, and I went, I'm in. Right? I am in. Because who doesn't want a pastor whose wife plays the piano? Right? I'm in. Because she brings value to me. And I, as a leader, know that there are things that she will support me on and things I cannot share with her. But I also seek her influence on some stuff as well, right? And so Scripture makes it very clear who the elders' wives are supposed to be. It's more than just saying what I found when I got here. Hey, who can serve on the board? Are you ready for this? Any male that's 18 years or older. So I said, well, what about so-and-so? No, we don't want him. I thought the only qualification was you had to be a man 18 years or older. That's scary. That's goofy. What I should have done was talk to every guy that was 18 years or older and had him show up at the next board meeting and go, okay, that's goofy. Why do we come up with rules that we think who should be involved in church leadership and who should not? What's wrong with what God's word has to say? We have to spend time investigating who these people can be. Ladies, listen. This does not mean that women have no place in leadership, just this form of leadership. Right? By the way, do you know what it was like the first time when I came and I said, what if women serve communion? Oh my gosh. The roof caught on fire. Right? And we talked about it. And do we have women serving communion now? Sure. We do. There's no biblical mandate one way or the other on that. So there's some freedom with that. That's a great way for people to serve. But I do want you to notice this qualification that he talks about. You have had to have walked with Jesus. Now, then it was from Jesus' baptism to the day he rose again, right? Flew up into the clouds. You have had to experience all of that. Now, as far as I know, none of us have experienced that. However, this does kind of talk about what some other scripture says. Man, it matters whether you've walked with Jesus. Can you tell, for me, as a church leader, are you able to tell that I've walked with Jesus for a while? See, one of the mistakes that a lot of churches make is they take new believers and they throw them in there, and they're all on fire, and then they realize the chaos that they've gotten into. And a lot of times it makes people just leave church, right? You can't be a new believer. So if and when we establish more elders, we're going to investigate them spiritually, right? Have they walked with Jesus for a while? It's very important to do. Them, it was literally from his baptism to his resurrection. Us, you're going to tell me about your walk with Jesus. I'm going to ask questions. And I think that's very important. All right, so verse 24. One of the things that we've got to be careful about as we're investigating new leadership is people's hearts. All right? So we're going to invoke God into this process. Look at verse 23. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas. I would not want that name. Also known as Justice. How many names do you need, bro? I mean, come on. I've been called certain names before. But good golly. Thanks for covering those bases, Luke. And I don't want to say those names anymore. And Matthias. What was wrong with Matthias? He only had one name. No wonder they picked him. Oh, spoiler. All right, verse 20, verse 24. Then they did what? Oh my gosh. Then they prayed. Why didn't they take nominations? Why didn't they vote? What'd they pray for? Lord, you know everyone's heart. As a church leader, that's scary. You know everyone's heart. It's easy to be fooled. Come on, guys. We can pull off the Christian thing well. But once you begin to be investigated, Lord, you know everyone's heart. And here they go. They invoke God into the process. That's a fancy word, right? They invoke him into the process. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us. Show us. Isn't this weird? They began with prayer, invoking God into the situation. They didn't vote before a meeting and after a meeting and then just do whatever they want. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry. Fancy words. Which Judas left to go where he belongs. Oh my gosh, that's middle point. All right, so I meant Cleveland. All right. The 11 knew of two guys that could become potential leaders. We walk together. We pray together. We do life together here, do we not? We know. We know, hey, there's some guys that have the potential to be leaders. But one of the things that you have to understand, if I come to you fellas and I say, hey, I'd like you to be a part of a study where possibly down the road you might find yourself in church leadership. I am not telling you that that's what's going to happen. You may study, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be one of the leaders. Speaking of 11, we had 11 guys here at the church that went through 3.5 forever long years studying scripture, studying books on what leadership was all about, church leadership. Do you remember that? And out of those 11, they picked 5 guys. Two of them, one said, maybe someday. He got mad at me and left the church. And then the other guy who said, just not now. I can't devote the time to it. And Matt and Keith and Earl all said the same thing to me individually. I don't feel qualified, but I do feel called. And I said, I agree. And now look, right? So it's amazing. Isn't that fantastic? Two Southern Baptists, a Presbyterian, and a Methodist. It's fantastic. Lord, you know. That's church leadership, isn't it? That's why I love getting together with these guys. Lord, you know. Lord, you are smarter than us. I don't know why Luke adds that one last dig at Jesus, or Judas, but I think it's hilarious. So, here we go. They got the two guys. Lord, you know their hearts. And the next verse says they drew straws to see who got the short one. What kind of leadership determination is that? All right, you draw a card, you draw a card. Who had the highest card? I don't know what that is, but they cast lots. All right, they rolled the dice, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. When you entrust that God will make it clear who he wants to lead his church, the dice will roll the right way. The right straw will be drawn. The bigger card will be picked. It'll be obvious. It will absolutely be obvious. Our format, what we changed up, is we decided to follow scripture that if we ever add on to the elders, I will come with you before you like this with their name, and you've got 1 month to put in writing why you biblically object to their character. You can't walk up to me and tell me, You cannot do what a lot of people do. Well, you know, there's a lot of people here. Stop. You ain't got the right to talk for anybody else. You want to bring the whole group? That's fine. But you put it in writing. But also understand, Scripture says you got to have two or three witnesses. This isn't going to be a power play kind of thing, right? Because we have investigated, we have studied, we have walked with these men. And when we come to present one to you, we are convinced that that's who God has chosen. But we're not the smartest one in the room. You may know something, right? And it's okay to come and tell us and share with us what that is. Does the church leadership here make a difference in your life? Because we began with that question. Does leadership make or break any situation that you're in? Do I or Keith or Matt or Earl make a difference in your life? If the answer is yes, I dare you before we leave today to tell them. To tell them. Man, do me a favor and don't let it be negative. Does that make sense? Tell them that they have made a difference in your life and that your spiritual life is better because of them, because mine is. So let's invoke God now. Let's stand together and let's sing. These questions about character are questions that we all have to answer. Are we walking the way that God wants us to? If the answer is no, I encourage you to come down as we sing. Let us gather around you, pray for you, encourage you in any way that we possibly can. Let's welcome God into this. Oh, I love this song. But God, we pray to you this morning, the God that was on that cross, the God that came down, the God that rose again, that you would know our hearts and make our hearts known. God, I want to be in a church that when we make our hearts known, people love on us. They correct us in such a loving way. It's the kind of church leader I long to be. I'm so thankful for Matt and Keith and Earl and the team that we make, and just what they do for me is just beyond words. For those of us here, Father, that have been hurt by church leadership, by legalism, by sometimes men that want to do the right thing but just mess it up, I pray that you would restore their hearts so that they could know your love through this church leadership in a way they never have before. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.